The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. A man who, in all likelihood, watched Thursday Night Football last night, Professor Jason Roach. He is wincing.
I watched every excruciating minute of it.
Professor Roach is a Steelers fan, and first of all...
They lost that game three times.
Yes,
three!
They did. Yes, they did. But I gotta say, not too much social commentary, but A, I thought Michael Vick was not even in the NFL anymore, and apparently he's still playing.
He wasn't, but they brought him in at the end of training camp because they didn't have a backup.
Because they didn't have a backup, and then they needed the backup because Roethlisberger is out for a few weeks, 2 months or something. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry
well, thanks.
It had to work out that
it.
Way. He attended yesterday's faculty assembly meeting in the Lynn Swan jersey. I thought that was great. Fantastic. Yes. Now we'll move on to Professor Dave Chow, a.k.a. the biggest Lions fan in the history of the world.
No, I'm not.
I know.
I just happen to be loyal.
You just happen to live here.
Unfortunately. And I do follow them religiously, unfortunately.
Oh, my. Sorry.
I'm okay.
Sorry.
As long as we're not going 0-16 again, I'll be okay.
Oh, we're going to give it an 0-6 try. I'm going to tell you that.
No, I think we'll do 0-5.
You think we'll just do 0-5?
How many times can Matthew Stafford just get beat up?
I don't know.
He's a tough cookie.
There's so many things that are wrong. How do you even begin to start? We are busting at the seams with the panel here today, folks.
Professor Dan Maggio
just walked in. If I didn't know any better, I'd say he was wearing a light jacket.
I just got off the plane. I just flew in from New Hampshire.
That's right.
And boy, my arms are tight.
Boy, directly across the table from me is Professor Jim Tubbs.
Howdy.
Howdy. It's going to take a minute. I mean, you actually watch NFL. You watch NFL.
Occasionally.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
When there's a reason to.
When there's a reason to.
Last season was a nice gift.
Yeah,
the Lions.
Yeah, last season had some up moments.
Yep.
For sure.
Try to remember them and cherish them forever.
Right.
If current trends continue, we may not see a Lions Super Bowl
What I normally say is I will just consider myself a Tigers fan and a Red Wings fan. However, both of those are getting a little iffy. Red Wings are doing all right so far.
They're fine.
I know some good curlers who can use some support.
Oh, my God. Continuing around the highly gender-segregated table.
Yes!
Professor Kendra.
Like the junior high dance.
We can't tell if we were all here early.
Wallflowers on this side.
I could have made the joke that you guys were perfectly integrated and no one would really know, you know. Professor Kendra Evans is here. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so thankful it's Friday. So thankful.
It feels good.
It feels really good.
Do you have your recitation on Friday morning?
I have mine on Monday and Wednesday.
But I
have been coming in early on Fridays, too.
Okay.
So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. It makes it, it's really 8 a.m. is really like a 7 a.m. for us.
It's true.
Right?
It's true.
So,
your family is well?
Very early.
Your daughters are well?
Family is, they're both doing really well.
Okay, good.
Yay. Right.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's good to hear. Professor Diane Manica gets the cider and donut prize for bringing us cider and donuts.
Yay. And donuts are still warm.
Oh, man.
And is doing her full professorship in retirement.
My 7-day weekends are wonderful.
Oh, my God. You just did something to my heart.
Everybody's turn is coming.
Okay. As long as you promise.
As long as you promise.
Oh, God.
Oh, we'll finish off.
Nice to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and for bringing the wonderful treats.
You're welcome.
I can't help but say it for our longtime loyal listeners that one of my most fond memories of the first couple of years I started teaching at UDM was Kathy Bush bringing Heise cider. She would always say, Heise, man, it's the best. It's unpasteurized. Don't drink this if you're pregnant, but otherwise.
And Matt, if you're pregnant, we're really worried.
Yes. But it is a very fond memory from those early falls in my career. Last but not least, going around the horn, Professor Heather Hill Vasquez is with us.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. My mother-in-law's in town.
Ooh. Oh, you're really excited about that.
No, actually I am. She's a wonderful, lovely lady.
That's cool.
Great.
That's very cool.
So no battle axe jokes, no dinosaur jokes, nothing like that?
No. Well, she wouldn't care, but she'd probably give it back to you right
back
there, Dave.
I like that.
Very good. So, where's she from, Heather?
From Oceanside, California. She actually lives on a 25-acre avocado farm.
So, wow.
Did she bring any avocados with her?
She did not.
She's here for the weather, right?
No, she's here to see us and be with her granddaughter and for a few days.
She owns the farm?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
She does.
Guacamole.
My husband's parents, that was their second business, and then they retired there. Mm. I mean, Mark's dad passed about 10 years ago, but... She's still running it.
Very cool. Nice. There's worse work than avocado farming.
Yeah, you can see the ocean from...
Nice.
Oh, lovely.
So anyway, shout out to Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo!
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. The long-awaited 100 questions about avocados has yet to actually come through. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize, too. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. When last we were together, we had some questions from Frank Burrows, our old friend and listener from Valencia, California. I wonder if it's close to Oceanside. I can't see with my glasses off up there on the... because it's Southern California, didn't you say? Oceanside is Southern California?
Well, it's near San Diego, so it's
pretty far down. Yep. Okay, very cool. So we had a few more questions we needed to knock off, and he was all over the map. He's just really, really good at pressing the random button on Wikipedia or whatever it is that you do. I'm not implying
voodoo.
That...
Voodoo. Must be voodoo.
Avocado questions.
Avocado questions, right. We had just answered what famous book had the working title, The Last Man in Europe? The correct answer was George Orwell's 1984 was actually called The Last Man in Europe. Who was the first U.S. vice president to resign office?
Spiro Agnew?
No, it was before that. It says 1832 here.
1832.
Ooh. Andrew Jackson's vice president?
I think that that makes sense.
John C. Calhoun?
John Calhoun. Yeah.
Nice.
Now, why did John Calhoun resign?
Well, he didn't get along with Jackson very much, in part because he was sort of on the side that was passing rumors that Jackson's wife had not been divorced when they got married, which
sounds
did not
like scandal.
Yes, it does. It was scandal, but Calhoun and Jackson, no, they never got along well at all.
If my boss, Mark Benvenuto, were here, he would always be very quick to point out that it was one of the two, because I think Jackson got reelected, right? Did he run two terms?
Yes, he did.
One of the two terms, no matter how bad the modern politics get, Jackson was referred to in a debate as a cannibal. It's like, it can never get worse than that. I'm
don't
like, wow,
give him ideas, man.
Well, I think the Cherokee Nation would probably come pretty close
that's
to that
true.
Description of
that's
him.
True. Yeah. So, that's true.
He certainly cannibalized everything they had.
Yes, that is true. Approximately what percent of the London Underground public transportation actually runs above ground?
Oh, probably 8%. I'd say about
25?
50. 10. 50 is what it says here. Yeah. Half of it is above ground.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do they call it when it comes up?
Because think about it. All the way out to Heathrow, all the way to the East End, North London to South London, all of that's above ground.
Mm-hmm.
Mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
Jolly well played.
A few years ago when we took my kids to Chicago and I told them about the L, I really think that pretty much the second we crossed the city line and they saw the sign, they expected to see trains hanging from the heavens, you know, and then the train was there on the side of the road. I'm like, there it is. They're like, that's not
it's
elevated.
Not an L. It's a low.
It's a low. Yeah. Okay.
Show them the scene from the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
That was a wonderful scene.
Or Bullet.
Yep.
Nah, Blues Brothers.
Maybe one of the Batman movies.
Maybe.
In what state would one find the Devil's Bathtub?
Montana?
Arizona?
I'm looking in a Dan Maggio kind of direction.
New Hampshire?
But it's not New Hampshire.
Pennsylvania.
It's not Pennsylvania either, but it's close.
I was going to say Michigan, but
Connecticut?
I don't know.
Well, it's outside of a city name that is shared between people who left this city in upstate something and came over here
New York.
Okay. Yeah. Not New York, New York, but from the state of New York, the people left the blank area, came here, and then made
Ohio.
A new city with the same name. Any ideas?
You should probably know this, but
yeah.
The Rochester area. Again.
Rochester is what it is.
Minnesota. Yeah. Rochester, yeah. Michigan. Yeah.
Rochester.
So and the Rochester bathtub is in Rochester, New York?
It's what it says.
The I wonder why I've never heard
more
of
sugar.
That.
More sugar. I know.
I did a,
just a little more
I'm sorry, Dan. I did a really
yeah, what
bad
is the devil's, what is the devil's bathtub?
Well, it was that long explanation about the city being...
People left Rochester and Utica, New York, and when they settled here in the northern suburbs, they said, we're just going to make a city with the exact same name.
Oh,
it's
kind of
weird, yes.
Really?
I think it's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I think the last time I sent you guys a list of questions when I wasn't here, I had all those names from upstate
really?
New York.
You did, Troy and a whole bunch of
Troy,
stuff.
Troy, Rochester, yeah. Auburn, my yep. hometown, mm-hmm. Utica, many yep. places.
How fascinating.
In what year were women given the vote in France, national elections?
1900?
No, it was actually later than that.
1910.
It was later than that.
1925.
It's later than
42.
That. It was that. It was 1944.
It wasn't until about 1970 in Switzerland.
Oh, unbelievable. Wow.
That's unbelievable. Post-war, they couldn't vote?
Wow. Or, well, yeah, this or, is in the yeah. middle of the war.
The middle
of
right
yeah, now. It's terrible. Yeah, who made that law in the middle of the war?
Men.
Yeah, men.
Well, no, they were all off I mean, doing something off. Else.
If they were yeah, occupied yeah. at that yeah, time, like that's that, interesting. Right?
Wow. What are, last question, thank you so much, Frank, these were really good. What are the names of the three falls at Niagara?
Horseshoe Falls.
Horseshoe Falls, Canadian Falls.
Bridle.
I have Bridle and Horseshoe, but I don't have Canadian.
Well, I think that's
Rainbow
really Horseshoe
Falls.
Not Rainbow.
Let's see.
The Rainbow
Hold
Bridge.
On. Extremely boringly titled park that's in New York.
New York Falls.
No.
Brooklyn. Bronx. Centrals?
No. They're called American Falls.
Oh, oh. What's wrong with Central?
Central isn't boring. Central Park's not boring.
Well, the park itself is not boring, but the name is sort of.
Oh, I thought he was, referring to the park.
Oh, I thought he was referring to the day.
No,
I thought Central's was fairly.
Confusing clues.
Yeah,
Horseshoe, American, and Bridal Veil Falls.
Bridal Veil. Thank you, Frank.
Did not know that.
Thank you so much. All right, we have a set of questions from Anonymous.
Oh, no.
And these are always tough. Colorful facts about Autumnan.
Autumnan.
Which isn't just the name of Professor Evans' younger daughter. Mm. It is also a season.
Mm,
fun
nice.
Fact.
I think we have to leave.
I really appreciate that pun.
Thanks.
I'm going to point it out because I didn't hear any laughter.
Thank you.
Autumn has been called in poetry the hectic beauty of blank.
Nature?
Not nature. Autumn is a symbol in a lot of poetry and literature of...
Harvest?
Sleep?
Death.
Death. It's Ooh. The hectic beauty of
Ooh,
death.
We don't like that.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Creepy.
Okay.
It's
the time
it's,
of year.
It's like it's
your, Halloween, maybe. Your
you know,
favorite day of the
year.
It's
your autumnal years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's true.
You're heading towards...
Right.
Well, I plan to live on until winter, too.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a precursor in poetry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh.
This is interesting. Scientists speculate a surge of what hormone in both men and women during fall may be a result of ancient mating instincts.
Testosterone.
Testosterone rises in men and women during the fall. Or that perhaps decreasing daylight overall somehow triggers this. Because people would get together. And I can't help but say this because I think I mentioned it last year, but I think it's hilarious that there are millennial terminologies that describe the searching of a temporary mate for the fall and winter so that you have someone warm.
Well, you know, testosterone also rises in men during sleep. So
it's
what
true.
Does that say?
That is true. That is true.
Well, I'm
is
not...
that why we all crave comfort food more during the
I think so.
Is anybody else here born in June?
Mm-hmm.
Am I?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, think about it. You know, it's like I... We used to joke that, you know, if you took my birthday, backed it all the way up 9 months later.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I was conceived on...
A lot of activity
yeah,
in the fall.
I was conceived around Halloween, possibly.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted
well,
to know.
It shows.
Yeah, right. Was that the trick or the tree?
Interesting.
Or both.
Oh.
So there are a great many world civilizations, none are listed here, but we could guess for a few, that have a lot of spiritual events and holidays during the autumn versus any other time of year. Do you know culturally
Mexico.
Why that might be?
Druid certainly
Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Mexico is definitely one of them,
Ireland.
But why? Why are there so many
harvest,
from
right?
all because over the world? Time, because yeah. of the harvest and...
Full moon?
No.
What, you can see at night?
All Saints Day?
Oh, you're. I mean, you're in the window.
There's lots of food.
Well, the fact that there's lots of food means you have to be thankful to your gods and goddesses is the point that's being made. So if you don't, then you're not going to survive the winter.
Yeah, sacrifice the firstborn.
Yeah. Sorry, kid.
I'll tell you what, you think about sacrificing the firstborn, we're going to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and their guests in a special session of unrehearsed questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWent. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always.
Sure.
And to his far right, from the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Yeah, do we get, like, door prizes or something?
Is that, like, the radical right?
No, not really. He couldn't accuse Greg of being that at all.
Can we turn in our meal ticket for a door prize?
I don't see why not. Okay. Sure. He's back. Kevin Sajak.
The Lazarus of piano
the
players.
The Lazarus of piano players, yes.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
We're glad to have you here. Most of the questions certainly you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. Before we start with our questions from the people out there in Radio Land,
I know it's coming.
We have the producer's question.
Oh, these are always...
Our producer, Melissa Samuel.
Ungrammatical, historical, all the vices. Go ahead.
What is the last name of the architect who designed the General Motors Tech Center? He also did Cranbrook.
Sorin. Yes. Sorin, yeah,
that's right.
The Finn.
Sure. I'm going to throw in Dulles Airport next.
And he designed the first co-ed dorm at the University of Chicago.
Really?
Well.
Imagine my surprise in the fall of 1959, coming out of the protected atmosphere of Bates College to a place where they were throwing open co-ed dorms.
Ooh, wow.
I mean, at Bates, women were signing in and out in those days.
Mm-hmm. Imagine my surprise in 1968, going to Michigan State University and having a roommate who had all his kilos of marijuana mailed to our room in my name so he wouldn't be arrested.
Very thoughtful man.
It was. I was.
It was a man, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
And we are back with some great questions from Anonymous, some fun facts about fall. Autumn babies, which are referred to as those born in the months of September, October, and November, are more likely to do this than babies born at any other time of year.
Wet their bed?
Actually, we're not talking about the babies, frankly. We're talking about the other side of their
lifetimes. It has to be, yeah, it has to do with how long they live.
They live longer than others.
They're more likely to...
Reach 100?
Reach 100,
reach 100 really? Than any other time of year. It's pretty interesting.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Has that been proven?
Statistically?
Statistically, yeah, I don't know. It's true. I don't quite know. It's. I think it's very interesting.
It is very, very
interesting.
Let's ponder that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Maybe,
I have heard of this, and I think I know the answer. I think it's because they're immediately interjected into the season of all viruses. And so they boost their immune system at a very early age.
So they don't die in infancy. They live a long time.
That's exactly right.
So the harvest moon was a very important part of early agricultural society because it was the last time you had enough light to still do stuff in the fields at night. Harvest moon is the full moon closest to what event?
September 21st.
The equinox.
The
autumnal equinox. You've got it. No jokes about blood moon, you guys?
Nope. Never saw it.
Never saw it because it was too cloudy.
I did.
I saw it.
There was a break in the clouds about 10:35 or 10:40.
That's about 30 seconds
it,
after I stopped.
And it stayed that way for about 15 minutes. I stayed outside and then the clouds covered it up again. I couldn't see anything else.
My kids really wanted to see it and then I dragged them out of bed and we couldn't.
Just go on Facebook. It's easier.
Yeah, it's true.
The picture they showed on the late news was from the Griffith Observatory and I couldn't imagine it was that dark in California at that point. But
crazy. So during the fall, in response to cold temperatures and less light, leaves stop producing this chemical.
Chloroform.
Thanks.
We can't ask people.
Chloroform is not green.
Whoops.
It makes you green.
At some point.
Do tell from your experience.
I know. As, of course, the green fades, the leaves' other pigments that have been there the entire time, by the yep. way, orange and yellow and red, actually get exposed. And hence, we have our autumn colors. Scientists believe global warming could affect autumn colors. As the world warms, leaves may delay changing their colors. Additionally, trees may not use these very, very important chemicals to create pigments and actually grow new twigs. I remember reading about this because plants are in charge of making primarily in our diets these molecules.
Sugars?
Sugar. Yeah. Sugar.
No more maple syrup?
Well, that's not good.
That's not good at all.
Global warming may also alter the habitats of trees, such as sugar maple. That's like the most vibrantly colored tree of all. Oh my gosh.
That's what I'm hoarding. I'm hoarding all of it.
Thank you for repeating that the second time. Because I wasn't sure what you said the first time. I'll let you ponder that.
Each fall, the black-capped chickadee, that's a little bird.
Yes.
Its tiny hippocampus, the part of its brain, enlarges by over 30%, which enables it to what?
It pecks.
Survive the sun.
Larvae out of the
take
bark.
Take the SAT.
No, maybe the PSAT.
Well, maybe the chickadee PSAT.
The chickadee PSAT.
Here we go.
Does it migrate?
No, it does not migrate.
Does
it breed?
Well, what if I helped you by saying,
compliment
if I remember correctly...
Mate.
Oh, the hippocampus is a matter of memory.
It remembers where it migrates. It remembers where to come back.
Not migrate. It's where it buried everything. Where it stores its food.
I was going to say remembers to eat.
Yep.
I didn't even know they hid food.
Where did I leave my car? They hide it on the ground, under different shrubbery, in trees. They hide their food
where
everywhere.
Where is that worm?
I always see them,
the SAT should be done that way. They should hide the answers and leave.
They bounce around the tree and they chirp.
Peck your favorite block.
Yeah, they say chickadee dee dee.
They chirp, and then I always think that they're looking for larvae in the tree bark. That's what I assumed. I didn't ask them, but I just assumed that's what they were
doing. It allows them to speak to Dan.
It's true. It's true.
The chickadee whisperer.
According to cultural data from such outlets of wonder like Netflix, what kinds of movies are most often rented during the fall?
Horror movies.
Not horror.
Romantic movies.
Romantic comedies.
Oh. Romantic comedies.
A rom-com.
That's why everybody's born in June, Dave.
It's true. Something like that.
Diane is wise.
The autumnal equinox occurs on different dates every year, but usually falls from September 21st to September 23rd. In 1931, the equinox fell on September 24th because the Gregorian calendar was a little bit out of sync. When's the next time the fall equinox happens on September 24th? What year?
2087.
It is quite a bit further in the future from
2087.
3582. Year 2525.
You know what? I'm giving you partial credit, both of you. The year 2000.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive.
Right, exactly. The year 2303.
23.
Please, listeners, mark your calendar.
What am I going to wear that day?
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Something autumnal.
Yeah, something autumnal, no doubt. Oh, my gosh. Solstices and equinoxes, I wonder if that's the correct plural, are solar events that have to do with Earth's position in relation to the sun at different times of year. Solstices are when the sun is at its... What direction of the compass most position in the sky?
Highest?
Not highest.
Well, what direction?
Compass direction.
North, compass south, direction. East, or west.
The northernmost position?
North or southmost.
Okay. North or south.
That would be the difference between summer and winter.
Yes.
Of course, we use the word equinox when we're referring to the spring or to the fall. And what does that word mean from the Latin?
Equal.
Something's
night.
Equal. The days equal. Are equal. Days equal and nights
light.
Are equal.
Mm-hmm.
I used to refer to my car.
Knox is light.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, is it light?
I think so. Okay. I think Knox is light.
Yeah, my car knocks all the time, too. So
Knox is light.
Yes, so it's equal night.
That's why in Harry Potter, in one of the opening scenes of the movie, he goes, Knox, with his wand, and it lights up.
Ooh.
Yep.
Boy, that's useful cocktail party information.
After a couple drinks, I wouldn't care.
Are you teasing me, Jim Tubbs?
I'm just observing.
Uh-huh. No, what does Mark say to me? He says, I'm not making fun of you. I'm finding joy in you.
Oh.
I like little tidbits of information.
Like that. Can we use that?
Funny.
On your better halves?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't know. You have to ask Mark.
Speaking Autumn of makers, begins.
Mark. As long as I give a proper citation, it's not plagiarism.
Yeah.
When the lineup of the center of the sun crosses this line on the Earth.
The equator.
The equator. Yes. Oh. That's when autumn begins. It just matters which direction.
You said
line direction.
Up in center, and I was thinking of the lions.
Yeah. Oh. Line up under center. Yeah. That's what they say, right?
Mm-hmm. That's why
the
we
disappearing
all
offensive line.
So I actually just learned this fact a few days ago. So I'm kind of, a few weeks ago. I'm very excited to sort of read it to you because I want to know if I'm just the only person who's never noticed this before. Did you know that Yes. Okay. Good night, everybody. Meteorologists define the seasons differently with regard to the solar year. To a meteorologist, what are the 3 months of autumn?
October, November, December?
No, it's September, October, November. The meteorological day in the temperate zones where we live, right in the middle of the northern hemisphere, actually breaks the year down 21 days ahead. So September is a fall month. And December is
so
a winter
month. Well,
we
kind of observe that, you know, with Labor Day being the unofficial start of
fall. It's not so weird.
It's not that weird, but,
Sonny
you know.
Elliott can make the call. I'm fine.
And around here, at least, December is definitely winter.
Yeah.
All of it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. By temperature at minimum.
And the lack of sunlight.
Mm-hmm. According to Greek legend, autumn begins when who returns to the underworld?
Persephone,
the goddess of grain and harvest. Her mother is so sad, the world goes into dormancy. You've got it.
Is that because her father gets her 6 months out of the year?
It's a custody battle.
Is that part of it?
Oh, my.
No, seriously, is that why?
No.
I can't remember. Did the mother make a deal where she loses her daughter part of the year?
Yeah, or something. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the exact myth. I'm sorry, Miss Thompson.
Well, the name is just so good.
Yeah. According to cultural data accrued from everybody's favorite website, Facebook, which was down the other day in a weird twist.
Weird.
Autumn is the time of year when people change their relationship status to what more often than the yearly average?
Looking.
Depressed.
Single.
No.
Together.
Engaged.
In a relationship or engaged.
Really?
More breakups, way more breakups occur during the summertime.
Oh.
We have to go, just like the summer.
Oh.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
Enjoy the cool, crisp temperature.
Mm-hmm. Professor Manica.
Have a great week.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Happy autumn.
Professor Maggio.
Have a great weekend.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Roach.
So long, and thanks for the donuts.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.